So we're going to look at Israel and learn from them. After all the world, we'd have no, all the world system, Egypt, not going to learn much from them. So we're going to have to go to Israel. And thus Israel, remember, was in bondage to the Egyptians, and their bondage century after century, generation after generation. And so when you come to Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time, year after year after year, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. In other words, they went through a hard year last year, and the year before that, the year before that, and the year before that. And the year ahead looks like the same years that have gone by. And so they were in their light of their bondage, they cried out to God. And God, in his wonderful kindness, delivered them. And you know, over in Exodus chapter 12, the Passover took place after the 10th plague, where the firstborn die in Egypt. And after the 10th plague, they are let loose from Egypt, as it were. So here in Exodus chapter 12, picking up, if I can, in verse 24, they are to go, they have been rescued. In other words, they're not going to spend another year in bondage in Egypt. All of those years are now to be changed. No more. No more. So there has to be, there needs to be a recognition of a change. No more the same. Now, chapter 12, verse 24, and ye shall observe the Passover, this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that he shall keep this service, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? What are you keeping the Passover for? That you shall say, verse 27, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. Now, here they are, and they're going to do this, and they're going to have a memorial every year of the Passover. And they're going to, what's the Passover? To remind them they had a change. No more Egyptian bondage. They were now free to serve and honor God. And they were to remind themselves so they don't go backwards into history and try to carry on and carry out the bondage they had before they got saved, before they left Egypt. And they have to, God has to get something to clarify the old is old, the new is new. Now, in the light of that, chapter 12, and while we're here, to pick up a timing note, chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. It came to pass, verse 41, at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord, all the armies of the Lord, went out from the land of Egypt. In other words, Israel is exited out of Egypt. They're a bunch of slaves, and God will call them his military army. He calls them an army, his army. What an army. They're his army. And out they go. Now, and so in the process, all of those years, now it's time to go out and leave. Now, they go out, and remember now, they're to remember Remember, there's a change. You're not going to, what your father and grandfather and the great-grandfather did, you aren't going to do. No more. Over, if you would, now to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, as they are going to leave out of Egypt into the wilderness and then into the land. But in the process, Numbers 11, verse 4, keep in mind, remember they're supposed to remember. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" We remember, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, after all, we're slaves. When you're in prison, they feed you anyway. Doesn't cost for lunch, I don't think. We remember the fish, verse 5, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of delium. And so here is the manna every day. And verse 5, they had something every day. God was taking care of them every day. But you know, they remembered. What did they remember? They remembered what they had in Egypt. They remembered their lunch, their supper, their dinner, their garden. And in the process, you had to remember you were slaves. And that's why you never ate what the Egyptian hierarchy ate. You didn't eat what they did. You just ate as slaves. So you're going to go backwards? Uh-huh. Backwards? We want to go back to Egypt. We remember. So going forward, you have to remember the Passover. Remember that. Now, what are they remembering? They aren't going to remember just that. They don't even remember that. If they remembered that, they would have never said what they say in Numbers 11:5. We want the fish and the onions and the garlic. Now, over, if you would, to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. And in verse 38, God wanted them to remember rightly, not wrongly. Chapter 15, verse 38. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations. Why? That they put the fringes on the borders, a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that's a tassel, have the borders of their garment, would have little tassels. The tassels would have blue thread in them. When they went to worship, men, this is for men, not women, and going in, and the Jews practiced that. And it shall be, verse 39, it shall be unto you for a fringe, a tassel, that you may look upon it. In other words, you look at yourself, you look at everyone else, and they're all got these little tassels of blue with blue in them. So that what are we doing? We're reminding ourselves, whenever we go to worship, we're reminding ourselves, remembering, verse 39, all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a whoring. In other words, you look around and lust after and want this and want that. Verse 40, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, they wanted to go, and here's another way, of all the different ways, to remember. Remember that they were no more Egypt, no more a whole new way of life, even though Egypt is right across the border. They have a whole new way of life. They aren't slaves anymore. No more. They have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for a whole new way of existence. Now, in the light of that, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Now, God is going to go and test them. And you need to remember, if you forget, you get in trouble. If you remember wrongly, you get in trouble. If you're remembering the wrong things, you're in trouble. If you forget the right things, you're in trouble. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember, Deuteronomy is the last writing of Moses, summing up all the first four books of the Bible, summing up all of their history, bringing it all together so that they're ready to go forward out of Egypt, out of the wilderness, into the land. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy, verse 2. And thou shalt remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why did you give him that particular diet? That man, verse 3, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And when you're living that way, trusting God, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. You never needed a change of clothes. Clothes always lasted 40 years. In the day and the night, clothes, food, health, feet, walking. Boy, did you walk a lot. No problems, no foot problems, no foot problems at all. Wow. Now, having said that, God, I want you to remember. Remember how I took you out of Egypt? You remember that? That's the Passover. Remember you were in the wilderness? And I want you to remember on your journey, I didn't want you to remember the wilderness. I wanted you to remember that I brought you through the wilderness. I want you to remember how I brought you through the wilderness. I want you to know that your journey went nowhere. You went around and around like a chipmunk in a cage, around and around and around and around, going nowhere. And I did that to teach you. Now, you should have the lesson so we don't do it again. Do we need to go in the wilderness again? No, we're out of the wilderness. We're going out of it. You don't want to forget the wilderness. It's all. Did you learn anything from it? Learn from it and carry that forward. Don't forget what? I took care of you in the wilderness for 40 years. I didn't leave you abandoned. You had no health problems, you had no diet problems, you had no foot problems, you had no problems with anything in any way, shape, or form. Except some of you were dying. You had nothing. Did you remember that? Remember how I brought you out. I didn't just send you and let you loose. I didn't leave you loose. In fact, I shepherded you for 40 years. Sheep, wayward sheep. I took care of you, and boy, did I take care of you. Don't forget that. Now, if I can, over in the light of that, remembering the right way, if you would, history goes on, and the history, are they going to remember the Passover? Are they going to remember what God, the fringes on your garment to go worship? No. Are you going to remember the God brought you through the wilderness in a place of death? He gave you life. Week after week, hour after hour. Do you remember that? No. So what happened? Well, we ended up in the Assyrian captivity. And then we had the Babylonian captivity. And we ended up. Now, over to Lamentations. Lamentations, if you would, in chapter 3. In Lamentations chapter 3, now remember Jeremiah, God puts in the heart of Jeremiah what happened to the city, what happened to the people. And remember Nebuchadnezzar in 586 levels the city. Now, to chapter 1, just to lock it in, Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations is a lament, a very difficult time in your heart to see the end of Jerusalem, the end of Judah, as it were. That's hard. Thus, Lamentations 1, verse 1. How doth the city sit solitary all by itself, empty, desolate. And that's the city. Now, slide down to verse 3. Judah is gone into captivity. Judah, Jerusalem, empty, all taken captive. That's the background for chapter 3. Chapter 3. And picking up, if I may, in verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery. See, that's what you want to do. You don't want to remember. You want to remember rightly. You remember wrong. Then you're carrying baggage from yesterday that'll make you miserable. And what is the answer for misery? You know the word, don't you? The answer, God's answer for misery is mercy. God's answer for guilt is grace. And boy, do they have misery. The city's gone. The people are gone. Wow. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood, bitterness, and gall, poison, my soul hath them still in remembrance. And it's humbled in me. I'm looking at the awesome awfulness of what has happened. But God told them it had to happen. It had to happen in order to get to the A. In order to get to B, in order to get to B, you've got to go from A. In order to go from C to get to C, you've got to go to B. Got to go forward. Now, verse 21, going forward. This I recall into my mind, therefore have I hope. Now, in other words, you're going to be realistic about things. Be realistic about Egypt. Be realistic about the wilderness. Be realistic. But make sure you do it remembering rightly. Don't remember wrong, because then you're going to get caught up. This has been my life. This has always been my life. This will always be my life. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wrong. Thus, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah, you are carrying the load in your heart. And you understand the only way to carry that awesome reality is to do it before God and remember rightly. Remember God's grace, remember God's mercy, and go forward. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to get the idea, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. You want to remember. Remember the hard things. They were. But that's only memory. If you don't handle it right, it's misery. You don't want to do that. You want to understand what to do. Otherwise, you're going to carry Egyptian bondage in 400 years. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. You're going to carry that. You carry that. It's not good. Not good. Thus, Psalm 103, picking up, please. In verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Moses, face to face, the people looked at all the marvel and wonder. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And that's what God, Jeremiah, you cry out. God is merciful, absolutely. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. And there's a little word, a verb. He remembereth that we're dust. We're the only ones that got high and mighty and trying to, this is this and this, and you forgot you were dust. Dust you came from, and dust you are, and to dust you will return. You brought nothing in. You absolutely will take nothing out. You forgot. Get all pride. And you know when pride gets all excited, and gets involved, and pride, dust, pride becomes mud. Dust to mud. But still dust. Wow. Now, so, in the light of that, verse 14, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God, are you going to be gracious? I am. That's why I told you to remember the Passover for the Israel. Every generation to the coming of Christ. But they didn't do that like they should. No. To remember the fringes on your garments when you worship. You didn't even go to worship. You didn't go to church. Wow. You didn't do it. Wow. And to boot, you forgot the marvelous, marvelous mercy and grace I showed you in the wilderness to get you into the land in the first place. You forgot that. Now, in the light of that, over to Psalm 78 on the same thought, a little different but helpful in going back in history. Psalm 78, picking up, if I can, in verse 22. Remember now they wanted, I'm going to read so you get the context. In verse 18. I'll even read verse 17. They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat of food for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness, etc., etc. Can God? Whatever God did, gave them nothing satisfied. Why? Because they didn't want to be there in the first place. So what satisfies you when you didn't want to be there in the first place? Now, so, down to verse 22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Down, if I may, skip verse 32. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they didn't want to be there. Wanted to go back to Egypt. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not, N-O-T. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. And why not? For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, put God on trial, and limited the Holy One of Israel, and cut God down to man's size, and they lost a God who was omnipotent and could do anything. They brought God down to their own size so they could handle him. And when they limited God, they lost out. They lost out. And verse 42, and they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They forgot all about it. They didn't remember. He told them what to remember. But you know, they remember all the wrong stuff. That's what people do. They got a whole lot of stuff to talk about and everything, but they don't remember the right stuff. They remember the wrong stuff. Now, over if you would, please. That sounds like Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. God, they wrongly remembered. They didn't remember right. They forgot God. They forgot God. Now, God, do you forget? God doesn't forget. God doesn't change anything he's doing. Just because humans, because he never expected anything out of humans. Except to believe. That's all he wanted. Would you believe me? I didn't ask you to do anything. You couldn't do it if I asked you. You could never produce it. But I'd like you to believe. Wow. Just believe. I need to do something. No, just believe. Just believe. Now, Ezekiel chapter 20, picking up in the future, in the kingdom coming up, Israel will be converted in a most wonderful way. Verse 42, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. That's the land. Then there, verse 43, there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings, wherein you have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. You're going to get, and you're going to remember. Now, what are you going to do as I think of God? I'm lost, I'm sin-bound, I'm caught up, I can't produce the righteousness you demand. I don't have it. God says, now, you got that clear? I do, God, I can't do it. That's what I want you to get clear. Now, God, what are you going to do in the kingdom for them? Over, please. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, picking up, please. Oh, you'll get the idea quickly. And remember that God's going to make a new covenant. Going to put the verse 33, I'll read that. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they, verse 34, they shall teach no more. No more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother. Why not? Saying, know the Lord. They won't need to do it, for they shall all, what? Know me. Not know my commandments. To know me. That's the whole thing. To know God personally. But I got the Bible. I got the Bible. No. If that's all you got nothing. Better than some things, but nothing. No. I want them to know me. When you leave Egypt, I want you to remember the Passover. I'm the one that got you out of there. I want you to know when you put the fringe on the garment, little tassel. I want you to know I'm the one you're worshiping. I want you to know in the wilderness, I want you to remember that I took care of you. I myself did that. Now, chapter 31 again, verse 34. And you shall teach no man. And I just want to go to the middle to pick up the thought. Know the Lord, for they shall know all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Eternal forgetfulness. Eternal forgetfulness, God. But you never forget. No. But you do forget. Forever. Forever. Uh-huh. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, Isaiah 43. Picking up, if I may, directly in verse 25, 43:25. Same movement of thought. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Why do you do that? For what reason? On what account? For mine own sake, on account of it, and will not remember thy sins. I will not remember them. See? The trouble is you remember them. And I put them aside. Now, would you go with me in the light of that? We'll remember. You're going to know. Everyone will know me. And you'll remember. I won't remember your sins. All right. Hebrews chapter 8. The book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 8. And remember, Christ is compared to the Aaron's priesthood. And Aaron had to go in the temple and do all these things. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. And the Jews were familiar with that. Verse 10, 8, 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their heart. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For How is this going to be? For I will be merciful to their, not goodness. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their wrong as can be. Then what are you going to do for them? Mercy. Misery. Needs mercy. They were in bondage for 430 years. They needed mercy. They did. Now, having said that, I will remember no more their sins. In that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old, O-L-D, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. There's no point in it. God, Christ has come to put it all together. Now, a new covenant for them. A new covenant for them. Uh-huh, that's right. Now, chapter 10. Chapter 10. Hebrews. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also was a witness to us, that after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, I'm telling you how it's going to work. Christ, the death and the cross, covers penalty, punishment for sin. Verse 18. Now where remission of these is, forgiveness, there is no more offering for sin. There's no more. There's no more need. It's settled. Satisfied. Father is satisfied with the work of God the Son. Now, thus, have you got that? Here they are. Here's the day apostasy in the days of the New Testament, book of Hebrews. And they're out there. And then you got, is Christ better than do I need to go back to the old? No, because the old will never do. They had to keep going in with new sacrifices and problem after problem after. They never solved anything. So here's to the Jews, believing Jews and otherwise, Gentiles. You don't have to go back to the old. What you have to know is that I am going to have a new thing with Israel when I do my new covenant, and their sins, I'm not going to remember them. They're going to be brand new. I'm going to put my law and my wonderful person into their life in a most wonderful way. Now, therefore, here we are, chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, to enter in the eternal remembrance, eternal forgetfulness. God, you are going to remember eternally the work and your promises, the work of your Son. I am. Are you going to eternally forget? I am going to eternally forget. I am. And I want you to know, believing heart, that you have the right and privilege to enter into the holiest of all, the place where God, where the priest only could go once a year on the Day of Atonement. You can get into the holiest of all. It's your privilege to live there. We live here. To be here is to be absent from there. To be there is to be absent from here. You live there. That's where you are. You have a unique relationship to me. Israel, did you grab hold of that? No, we didn't remember rightly. We don't put it together. How many believers don't put anything together? They just bumble along. Wow. Now, so here. Thus, verse 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through his veil, that is to say his flesh, we're able to come to God, know God, honor God. We're able to do so in a most wonderful way. And Hebrews 1, 10, chapter 10, verse 1, the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the newcomers thereof perfect. And I want you to get the little verbs. Can, these things can, and then never. Never. Never, can, never. Never, 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 can. It can never, never take away sin. Never. So when you hear never, 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 it won't work. Do you think it means never? It won't work. You can't do it that way. Never, 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 never. Never means never. So here we are busy. Well, God says it'll never work. But we don't listen. Never, 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 God. Wow. Verse 11. Hebrews 10, 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering the offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which, here's your little phrase again, can never take away sins. can never do it. I did it. That will never do it. I did it. I took away your sins. I did. I want you to know me. I'm the one that's doing it. I'm the one that's healing and giving health and wholeness to the soul. I'm the one doing it. Now, having said that, that we can never take away sins. Over, if you would please, to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Picking up, if I may, the Lord is giving a projecting into the future. And in doing so, looking at taking away sins in the world, what's the world do? Does the world care anything about what we're doing? No, they don't care. No, not at all. No. And the world's just going along, and it's going to go right into the tribulation, as you know. Chapter 17, picking up, please, if I can, verse 25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation, our Lord. As it is, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank, and they married wives, and they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was just a nice sunny day, and everything's going to go on and on and on and on and on and on. Another year, another year, another year. So what? Whoops. It is another year. And it isn't so what. You don't stop the clock. You don't stop the calendar, do you? How do you stop the clock? How do you stop the calendar? You don't. You don't do that. No. So now in the light of that, but God said, you are not remembering. Verse 28, likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat and they drank and they brought and they sold and they planted and they builded. As in Noah's day, they didn't believe. And so in Lot's day, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven on a very sunny day, just like probably in the day of the flood, and destroyed them all. Even thus, verse 30, thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, in the day in which he shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down, the man. Come down and take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And judgment's coming. It is. Remember the admonition. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? She didn't want to leave. And Lot said, no, God is going to give my heaven umbrella and you and my two daughters can get under the umbrella and leave safely. Oh, but I don't want to. And as they went out of Sodom, and her heart was in Sodom, and she turned, which she shouldn't have done. She turned and looked back and became a pillar of salt. And for many, many years, people would go down to the end of the Dead Sea down there and would still see the remains of the form all of salt for many years. I don't know when it stopped. It just sat there. And you go down and see it like a memorial, you know, say, wow. Remember Lot's wife. They're looking back. But we can't look back. No, it's all gone. Therefore, we've got to run the race that is set before us. Luke chapter 15. Would you please note? Remember Lot, God gives the illustration of his father who had two sons. One of the sons wanted to enjoy the world. The world out there has got a lot. Like Egypt has a lot. Boy, do we have a lot in the world. Parties and fun and people and boy, we had it. We had friends and everything. Aha. And he wanted that. And he does. He asked, remember, you know, very quickly, verse 12, and the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods. In other words, give me my inheritance. Give me some money that falleth unto me, to me. And he divided unto them his living in not many days. And this younger son took journey, verse 13, far country and wasted his substance, was riotous living. The world doesn't care 2 cents about your survival. And you know that. It used to be that, used to think they care, used to have jobs where they, you'd work for 20 years and they'd stay very loyal and everyone worked at it and did stuff. But you don't have that, I don't think, very much. Wow. No, you're a number. It used to be you were a name. It used to be we're part of the family, of a business. Wow. Now, so here he is out there wasting away. Now that's what he did. Now hang on to that. He's out there doing that. Now, and is the son out there wasting away? Is he enjoying any of the benefits of being a son? He just threw all of the benefits of being a son away. He doesn't put him aside. He wanted to forget he was a son. And off he went. And he had no wonderment of his father, his father's house, the father's care. He had none of that. And off he went. And then he got the world is the world. And the world just cares about its own survival. And you fit in or you don't. Politically and power-wise and every-wise. Now, so thus, remember, and he got down, Obamacare hadn't kicked in and stuff. I mean, he didn't have stuff, welfare and all that. And so there he is, verse 16. And he wished he had something, and he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he said, listen, verse 17, and it came to himself and said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'm going to go home. I'd rather be a servant in my father's house. They are treated better in my father's house. Then I am out here. I'm a son, but I'm a son in the world and not a son in God. And the world doesn't care about my sonship in God. Who cares about you being a believer? Being a child of God, being a son. Oh, no one. And the world doesn't care for 2 cents. And therefore, the son did not enjoy the father. And you know what? The other son is sitting there. And that son, verse 17, that son remembered. He rightly remembered his father, his father's house, his father's treatment, and he knew the servants were better off, and he remembered rightly. He got back to God, back to his father. That's where he went. Now, the other son, you know, he got all upset because, I'll have to pick it up very quickly, verse 28. The father made a little feast for the son, and listen, verse 28. And this is the son that stayed. Now, listen to him. Before you get, boy, he's the good guy. Wait a sec. Verse 28. He was angry and would not go in. He wouldn't go in. He could have gone in. They're having a celebration. But they didn't go. He didn't go in. No, sir, he was angry. Therefore came his father outside and treated him. Father said, come on in, son. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I served thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, a feast. Why did you want a feast? That I might make merry with my friends. Nothing to do with you, father. everything to do with me and what I want and my friends. Neither son enjoyed the privilege of a father. One son remembered, and the other son forgot that he was a son. And the father will say, you know, chapter 15, verse 30. But as soon as this his son was come, thou hast devoured thy living with harlots, which has killed for him, and thou killed them the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. Isn't that enough? All that I have is yours. God has given you in Christ all that is his. Has he not? You won't find anything he hasn't given you, because Christ is the head, and you are, if you're a believer, his body. And you enjoy every drop of privilege that he has. And you know how many are sitting in church and they don't enjoy being a son. They sit there. We sit there and go through the motions, and we do whatever. Just like that prodigal son. Not the prodigal son, the good son. Didn't I do everything? I sang, I took the offering, I gave my 50 cents, I did everything. Now what more do you want? I just want my part. I want to have some fun in my heart. I would like to be able to have some. God said, you aren't satisfied with who I am. And you aren't satisfied that I have given you everything in this house. You could take 20 kids. You could have a feast of 4,000 animals if you want. All you have to do is do it. Ask me. And I'd give you 10 feasts. But you never asked me. You just sat there and had a lousy, hot attitude to the whole thing. That's what you had. And you lost out. So here we are. Here we are headed into the year and remembering. I don't want to remember wrongly, because I'm going to bring baggage that's going to kill me. I want to remember rightly, though, that God, did I or did I not get saved? Did I or did I not receive you? Did I or did I not become a... I'm a sinner that became a son. And a sinner that became a son can handle the past. Not as a sinner. I handle the past as a son. As a son, I handle the past. I'm a son. Ah, that's different, isn't it? How about yourself? Our Father and God, we thank you for the kindness and grace. And God, what can we say? Deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, for safety, encouragement. God, for all the physical needs, the material needs, the social needs, the financial needs. God, here we are. And God, none of that is an issue. God, our own heart, we want to be in the place where to know you like the Job of yesterday. We want to be able to learn well and rightly in a time of need, in a time of hardship, in a time of blessing, in a time of abundance. God, we want to learn well. God, it has nothing to do with what you give me. It has everything to do with who you are. God, I want to honor you. I don't want to forget you. No, I don't, God. I don't want to get tied up. The calendar and time, the clock are going to go, and I'm going to go with it. But God, God, and things are going to be tomorrow that weren't today. But God, I'm going to go. And I'm going to learn well. To you, honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps you can sing one stanza, please. 564. 564.